The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, it's the Giant Head coming to you cordless, everybody. It's 11 p.m. on the east coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the west coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and 10 p.m. Central Time here where I'm sitting in Ilhan Omar's district, smack dab in northeast Minneapolis. Welcome to another edition of Jim Peters Tonight. I'm Jim Peters. This is episode number 88, if you're counting at home. I want to thank you folks for joining us today. We got the dynamic duo coming up in just a second. I'm going to make a few announcements here. First of all, I need to apologize for last night again. Last night, for the second time in a row, Blog Talk Radio went kapooey on us. And I was right in the middle of talking to a guy named Joe. I want to thank Joe for calling in. I didn't mean to cut you off. Really, the whole system just blew up right in the middle of our phone call. So, and on Tuesday night, we had, no, that would be Monday night. On Monday night, Blog Talk Radio was completely down. We didn't even get a chance to log in. So it's supposedly up and running tonight. I'm going to give you the telephone number. It's at the bottom of the screen here in just a second. Like I said, we have the Dynamic Duo coming up tonight. They come on once a month. That'd be Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com and AsTheWorldTurns.com and Jeff Meyer from Conk.com, our sponsor. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. So, yeah, that's tonight. Tomorrow night, Mark Tapscott, the congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times, she's joining us. This guy's fascinating. First of all, he's been working on the Hill for 40 years. He was in the Reagan administration, you know, so he's actually a couple years older than me, and that's almost impossible. So anyway, this is going to be great because he knows all the dirt on Capitol Hill, all of it, and we get it firsthand. So that's great. That's tomorrow night. We take Fridays off here, if you don't know that, if you never watched before. Monday night, we got the Month in Review panel. That's Don Zorro, intelligence operative for the United States government. Don comes on anonymously. He cannot reveal his identity because I think he goes offing people during the week. I don't know what else is going on there. And Tim Conaway, our friend who's running for president of the United States. Tim's claim to fame is he was the editor of a bunch of popular magazines during his career, most notably Hustler. For the 15 years that Hustler was most popular during the 80s and 90s, that was him. He did that. You want to know who actually picked the pictures for the beaver hunt? Yeah, that was Tim. Tim did that. So that's our show for the next few days here. You can call in. So here's the deal, because we're going to be running the dynamic duo. We got a lot of people on the screen tonight. I'm going to ask you not to call in with your camera. I hate to do that because you're trying to encourage people to call with their camera. So if you want to call in with the Blog Talk Radio phone number. It's the bottom of the screen right here, 563-999-3435. We'd love to take your phone calls. If you have questions for the panel, we're going to be talking about the recent news. You know, or I don't know, if you want to talk about your love life, whatever, you know, just call, you know, call in, it's fine. And if you want to text in, I'm monitoring the texts as we speak in real time. That number is 408-458-5088. Now, you can text when we're offline, too. I get all the text messages. You can also leave a 30-second voicemail off that number. I don't get that while we're on the air, of course. But, yeah, it's like you can tell me what you think. So that's what we got going on, and here is our oh Jesus, God, I don't believe it. This is like just pisses me off. Our show is sponsored by Conk News. That's the front page of Conk News in real time right now. Conk News updates every 3 hours. It's made up of 75 different news sources from all across the internet, And you'll see here, like, for example, and you can't see my cursor, I keep forgetting this, in the top left column, that's from National Review. As California budget crisis explodes, Newsom covets doing the same thing to the U.S. Yeah, and he will, too, if he gets a chance. Any rate, this is, if you're a news junkie, you can't do better than this. All these stories link directly to the news articles they're from on different websites. The pictures are from those news articles, and the headlines are from the news articles, too. They're not rewritten, and there's no interstitial pages. You click on this on the top left, the Newsom story, you go directly to the National Review. It's a newspaper compiled, and you can't do better than this. And like I said, it updates every 3 hours. You come at 10 o'clock in the morning, you look at this. If you come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, most of it is different. The stuff that isn't different is pushed down to the bottom of the page. So at any rate, if you're a news junkie like me, it's a sexual experience. I use this all the time, and you should too. That's at CONK.com, and that's where Jeff Meyer is from. And we are going to put him on the screen here and Jennifer Olive O'Connell as soon as I play the 12-second bumper. Here we go. Look how much fun this is. Okay, folks, let's do a quick mic check. Jennifer, how you doing?
Doing great, Jim. Doing great for having been traveling all day. But
And I will ask you about that in a second. And Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Jeff is in the second floor of a six-car garage in Prior Lake, Minnesota. And Jennifer is sitting somewhere in Alabama. Am I right about that?
No, I am actually sitting in Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh. Okay. That's not where you live, right?
No, I am here for CPAC.
Oh, oh my God. Now I'm getting excited. It's like,
here for CPAC, and you know, the hotels are hella expensive in National Harbor. So
has it started already?
It starts tomorrow officially. So I will be covering it for Red State and Substack. And
you can check in with us too, maybe?
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, guys. So I got a list of things I want to talk about here. And some of it is from your columns at Red State, Jennifer.
Yeah. Awesome.
But first, this is from John Nolte at Breitbart. So now, you know, you guys know what Libs of TikTok is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, the woman who runs it is being accused. Basically, she's being accused of murder because here's the scenario. The thing is, with Libs of TikTok, for those of you who are watching that don't know about this, I mean, it's brilliant in its simplicity. All this woman does, I can't remember her name, Cheryl Raichick or something like that.
Cheryl Raichick.
Yeah, thank you. She takes stuff that liberals post on mostly on TikTok, but also on Twitter and other places, and she compiles it and reposts it, which, of course, on most of these services is completely legit. And you don't even have to ask the person, you know, who you're copying to repost it. But because of the context of putting it all in one place, it all looks as ridiculous as it really is. So 2 years ago, she posted something that some ridiculous progressive teacher, I think it was in Virginia, if I'm right. Jennifer, do you know about the story? Or I think it was.
I peripherally know about it, but
yeah, it was in Virginia, and she posted, this guy was posting all this weird, preening grooming shit, and she ended up getting this guy fired. Well, anyway, the attention from being in on Libs of TikTok got the guy fired. Now, 2 years later, this week, a young woman in school there killed herself, and the left is saying she did it because this teacher was not around there to support her. When in reality, they never actually interfaced in school. They had no contact with each other, and yet they're accusing her of murder. Oh yeah, tell me about it. Jesus Christ, Jeff, I know you have thoughts.
Well, when I think of Libs of TikTok, they aggregate just like conk.com.
She does it manually, right? But yeah, it's aggregation, right? Exactly the same thing, right?
it makes it simple grocery shopping all in one aisle.
That's right.
Way by. And...
Yeah, that's right. Well put.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the left loading, and they are doing it all over in every aspect that the just the reality that what they are portraying, whether it's government action, their own behavior, they want to tie the lips of TikTok gal to this unfortunate death of this young gal. I mean, they are just clawing for their last breaths before they actually sink, because the economics of it are going to take everyone down with them, unfortunately. You know, we're all tied to this thing. But just the reality of you can't shit the shitter continuously. It finally is over. And that's what this is this is the culmination of just bad decisions.
I totally agree. Jennifer, let me ask you, why I won't even say liberals, why are politicians so stupid? Why do they think they can continue going, like just saying, they're going to the well, they go to the well, and they don't think they're going to come up dry at some point? Why is that?
Well, know that it's a particular breed of politician that thinks that the government is their piggy bank, as opposed to you can't get anything out of taxpayers, and when you created an entire generation of people who don't want to work, who want UBI, you're not going to get any more tax dollars.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can tax the rich, and the rich go someplace else.
Right. And so let's pivot from this too. I see, and this is what Jeff is alluding to. Jeff, I totally agree with him. I see some sort of black swan event on the horizon where everything's going to fucking blow up, economically at least. Now,
yeah.
my experience with this is I was working on the web in the 1990s. And in the 1990s, we all knew at some point that the stock market was going to collapse. Everyone involved in the web business knew that all the valuations were bullshit. So we knew it was going to happen. The only question is when. Now, but what happened in 2001, March, that's when the stock market crashed, March 2001. The only thing I remember about this is it was sooner than everybody thought it was going to be. And it was. I mean, I still remember talking to my friends. We were like almost taking bets. When do you think this is going to happen? But it was, and my, if you look back on history, I think most of these things happen sooner than people think they're going to. That's what I'm thinking, you know? Now, I've had Murray Sabrin, the economist, on the show. He comes on regularly, and he still thinks that something really awful is going to happen before Election Day this year. And I'm starting to think he might be right, you know?
Yeah.
He's not the only one. There's a couple of economists that I follow on X, and they're saying the same thing, that, you know, something's going to happen. Be prepared. You know, gird your loins.
Jim, you're prescient on this. I had a call with a client today and their accounting firm, and they sent this email out yesterday afternoon that, hey, we need to get on a call today to explain this write-down change in the GAAP, the general accounting practices.
Right.
And so they went through this whole scenario looking at the bad debt that the company had to write off from 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. And basically, the accountants are being asked by the government to put a number to this as far as a percentage, right? They phrased it. And, you know, I'm just sitting there, and this is a client of mine, and I really have to be careful opening my mouth to question this. So anyway, they're going through their numbers and so where they ended 2023. And the question presented to them was, you have to come up with, it looks like it's 5% of your average accounts receivable is what you write down over the course of a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Uncollected bills from customers,
right,
on invoices.
Hold it, Jeff. Is 5% kind of standard?
That'll vary. The accounting firms being very, they're basically reading off a script because they don't want to determine the number.
Uh-huh. Right.
They want the business owner to determine.
To tell them, right. Yeah, got it.
So then they said, you got to kind of look at your 0 to 30, 30 to 60, 60 to 90, and over 90, and kind of spread that 5% out of what, where does it go bad?
Uh-huh.
And so this accountant's going through this whole thing. I said, the banks are really, really worried about how much of this housing crush is going to come, because it's going to come differently than it did in 2008 when they were just letting people move into homes. These are people that have homes, have had good jobs, and now their jobs, they're losing their jobs.
Yeah.
Their credit card bills at 28% interest. And so they're going to, this is a gap. They're asking every business to predict how shitty their collections are going to be. Then they said, can you give us an idea? Are your collections the same, worse, or better? And I said twice, I said, they're really worried about this economy crashing sooner than they thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the accountant was totally neutral. Like, that's not part of this discussion. I said, I know it isn't. I said, I've seen the same, when you talk to investment people, they're, this is a Sam Brinkman freeing deal, right?
Uh-huh.
That the banks are out of control. This is all this stuff that Biden's administration is the culmination of. No one's really paying attention to what's going on in the kitchen. But you see the same thing in the investment industry. If you talk to an investment person, they're asked now, do you know this client? Do you know where their revenue comes from? Do you know what they do to earn that revenue? All things that Hunter Biden was never, no one that took Hunter Biden's money ever said, geez, you're doing pretty good. You're getting 80 grand a month for doing what?
Yeah.
And so they're taking this and they're starting to push it down like everyone's doing this because they know the system is busted and there's going to be a major economic bins. Everyone's going to wake up one day and go, wow, it did happen.
Yeah. Well, it's bound to happen, isn't it? The only question is when. Just like I used the example from the 1990s, everybody knew it was going to happen. Everyone knew. It was just a matter of when.
And Jennifer, I'd be interested if you float that question around tomorrow of why is this gap change happening? Why are accounting firms asking businesses to predict their collection ability? What do they know?
Yeah.
Right?
They obviously know the bottom is about to fall out in certain industries and certain jobs. And
yes.
and they know this.
And they're scared because they're asking.
All right. My mind is...
What did they expect with all of this Bidenomics nonsense and pumping money that we didn't have? What exactly were they expecting? That they aren't listening to anybody.
Jennifer, I mean, seriously, have we ever had an administration ever that gaslighted the American public more? I mean, it's unbelievable. These people are unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was President's Day this week, and these, the stupid leftist scholars came up with their listing of the presidents. I don't know if you guys saw this. Biden was listed 14th. Trump was listed last. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, Trump is below Woodrow Wilson. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. Oh, see, oh, you got me bouncing around now. So you wrote a column on Red State about David Frum trying to uncancel Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant because, first of all, Wilson was a fucking jackass. I mean, he was, he looks worse every day as we, the farther away we get from it,
Total elitist, humanist.
Yeah.
Jennifer,
you got
it.
But he was a humanist.
Yeah.
And a racist bastard.
Pure evil.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing and what he was doing would affect you know, all the grunts.
Well, not just affect all the grunts, but he understood that if you embed it in policy, it's going to take you forever to unembed it. I mean, look how long, when he desegregated the military and the government, or not desegregated, but segregated them again, how long did it take to get that change to happen again? Truman, so that was what, 20, 30 years later?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and it's still a mess. So he understood. He told you're right. It was social engineering. That was one example of social engineering before the internet. So you've always had these social engineering types, but you know he was a small arm of the WEF. Let's just put it that way.
So let me run this by you guys. I put this in my notes too, and this related to nothing any of you have ever read or wrote or said. And that is, do we have Obama to thank for all this leftist engineering nonsense?
No, it started so long ago. I was having a conversation this week about, you know, I'm helping businesses, so I'm hearing about all the latest, greatest business book and all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I finally got fed up, and I said, just copy the public school system. They understand the majority of students are going to come to school fearful. They're Democrats. And the minority are going to show up, and they're going to be conservatives. Now, we're going to educate so that the fearful will do crazy things to keep the conservatives down, even though it brings up everyone down. Mm-hmm. And the school districts, our public school system perfected this. I don't know what they figured out in our minds how to do this, but in the 50s, they had to have figured it out and implemented it in the 60s when I was born in 65, because from that date forward, they produce people that accept the government takes their money first out of your check, and they take it forever, right?
Yeah.
You never are done paying your tax bill.
Right.
And to me, that I said to this guy, I said, why don't you study how schools educate kids? And instead of thinking of the Democrat, you know, the fearful kid and the conservative kid, think of the buyer and the non-buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And well, then pressure.
They want the system was it Dewey? I forget that one of those names that we know, you know, intellectually, because we just think, oh, you know, it's the library system. But he invented the system in order to basically to farm workers.
I didn't catch that, John.
Socialist and it's communist, to farm
uh-huh.
workers
right.
into, you know, what were the mills at that time, or the paper, you know, the paper mills, this mill, this, you know, it's like, oh, we need workers. Yeah, well, just give them this much education, give them this much ability, think that they're, the trick is they're thinking they're achieving something great when actually they're just going on to mediocrity like every, like every generation.
Yeah, they're taught two things, show up on time and listen to authority.
Yes.
And if you don't fit in that realm, they drug the boys, right? They give, mm-hmm. they declare they need Adderall or whatever. But they know they just have to capture that for 12 years and then kind of move you through. But the majority, again, they're educating the majority to believe in that fear and to listen to authority and show up on time.
So, guys, is that what's happening at the border with the 14 million people we let in? Is that what's going on?
Oh, they're flooding the system and trying to quickly changing the demographics of cities. Quickly changing the demographics of areas. Because how else are you going to do that? How else are you going to flip a red state or a red county blue if you don't flood the people in there who are totally changing the makeup of it?
Yeah, Jen, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw it either, Jeff, and it was on Conk News about Hot Air wrote David Strom and Hot Air wrote an article about the fact that I lost my train of thought. Jesus Christ.
Is it floating around the internet?
Yeah. Would you guys send somebody over to put me down, okay? It's like, you know, I was a good dog. It's done. Okay, what did Strom write about? Oh, he wrote about the fact that, oh, shit. Somebody take it. It's terrible. I'm terrible. Oh, man.
I'm glad to be on show number 88.
Yeah, we made it this far. I know. Oh, God. Okay, hold on a second.
Didn't Strom write? Oh, I think I saw that article, and now I'm drawing a blank. But didn't he write one about Tucker as well? Strom had one.
I know there was something on Hot Air about Strom, about that, but I don't know if Strom wrote that or not.
You know, I religiously watch Morning Joe.
Yes, I know.
I get up and make.
God bless you.
I try to catch the guy before the way too early guy.
Uh huh. Yeah.
He's like a nice guy, just misdirected.
Uh huh.
But boy, Joe. So Mika bought Joe a bell for Valentine's Day. It's the most
hold it, a
thing.
Bell?
They like smack it on the desk and ring the thing. It's just, it reminds me of what some dumbasses did in the frat house I used to live in, you know. With
yeah.
Sounds very cringe.
It does. I agree.
So anyway, Joe has really amped up calling Republicans dumb and Mike Johnson a little weasel. You know, I mean, he is a bully with a big microphone. Well, sort of big microphone. I mean, there's not, you know, it's me and 500 other people watching.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But it is, again, to me, that's another really good example of how this thing's unwinding and now they don't know what to do because people aren't walking away from President Trump, no matter what the dollar amount they say he's got to owe. I mean, really, $450 million, that's a lot of millions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that article in the top left corner, a conch that you had up, Jim, when we opened up,
uh-huh.
That's an article by World News Daily.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I can't see the little logo for, that well on the screen.
It.
Yeah.
But on there, they're talking about Gavin Newsom's. I mean, think about this, folks. Let's say there's 50 million people in California.
Yeah.
Their budget this year is $291.5 billion.
Yeah.
For the year, that's 365 days. In 1962 and 63, that budget was $2.9 billion under Governor Pat.
Brown. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was building the freeway infrastructure and the state water project.
Mm-hmm.
They have a deficit of $73 billion. So you take their current budget times four, and a quarter of that is money they don't have and they spent.
Right.
This thing has to come to a halt. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be painful. But again, we have a God we can pray to, and he's on our side, and he will get you through this. You didn't sign these debt bills. Our government did. They're the first ones that have to suffer the most. The taxpayer in America does not have to suffer.
But don't you guys think that the people in California at the legislatures, they just assume the federal government will bail them out? You know, we'll have a Democratic president and we'll get bailed out, you know.
That's their nature. That is what they did during COVID. That is what they have done with the American Rescue Plan. I mean, just sucking off the government teat because this is the way things are. You know, you let us be this wonderful example to the nation and give us money to do it. And that's exactly what Biden and – I mean, look at how many California people are in that administration.
Oh, that's interesting, Jennifer. I never thought of that. I never thought of that at all.
Yeah.
They had on...
Harris, first of all, VP.
Yeah.
The Sarah, HHS. Julie Sue, the acting Secretary of Labor, who's brought in that destructive rule. I mean, that there are all of the people who failed up, who couldn't find a job if it beat them over the head in a normal society are at the highest levels of government, destroying life for the American taxpayer.
So what's the deal with Newsom? Do you think, see, and this is, basically I have the same question when it comes to Democrats all the time. Do you think he actually thinks he's succeeding, or does he know he's pulling a grift on the American public?
Oh, he knows he's pulling a grift on the American public. He doesn't care. It's all about his grandstanding and his stature and what he wants.
Yeah.
Talk about gas. You know, he's the king of gaslighting. Him and Biden. Biden probably took lessons from him. He loves to gaslight and pretends that, you know, oh, that's not going on.
Oh, he loves to talk.
Oh, of course he does.
I can't remember.
He loves to hear himself talk.
I had a guest on about a week ago. We were talking about this, you know, and I think as a talker, I think he's brilliant. I got to say, you know, I've never heard anybody lie more effectively and more charmingly than this man. I mean, he's fantastic at it. Just fantastic.
Tucker Carlson said the same thing.
Yeah, but he can't do anything. You know, you're talking about. The reason, Jeff, I think the reason Trump has remained popular is because Trump actually got something done. I mean, you know.
Well, he did something before he got there. So he understood how to get things done.
Right. That's right.
That's a big difference.
He had experience doing shit. That's right. Most politicians don't do anything.
You can't come out of a law firm and then figure out how a budget works. You can't come out of a school district and become a state legislator and say, well, we need more money, and in the school, it just showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
In real life, no, a taxpayer has to go have a commerce. That business has to collect their portion and the state's portion and then turn it into the state so they have their money to spend. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens before it can be consumed by the government. And that most of the people in the legislature are school teachers, former school people, and attorneys. That is, it's not going to go well, and so it isn't going to go well, and that's what I think people have to just, when it happens, stay calm.
Yeah, or union stooges.
There you go.
Either labor stooges, as you said, educators, quote unquote, which is useless in this day and age for some of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, lawyers.
Oh, the labor thing's fascinating. I mean, Biden just finally got the auto workers' endorsement, and yet all the auto workers are saying, we're not voting for Biden. You know, you ask them privately, you know, it's like that endorsement, it's useless.
But the thing is, they get their money. So you can say, I'm not going to vote for them. That's okay. They have your money to go convince some other moron who makes $3 an hour and you're making 30. So they got a lot more out of you to finance to convince the $3 an hour person to vote for Biden. So you're canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more $3 an hour than $30 an hour. It's our education system working like it should.
Yeah,
exactly. And paying off, really, it's bribing the voters is what's going on. I also wrote a story on Red State about that video that everybody's talking about with the black educator. He's won education awards and all that. His two sons, you know, great.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the fried chicken episode.
good-looking family, but, you know, Biden went and bought Cookout.
Yeah,
and went to go eat with them, supposedly, and just the whole awkwardness, but the gist of it is that he forgave the guy student loans. He did that illegal student loan grab. And so the guy sang the praises to the hills about, oh, how that helped me and blah, blah, blah. And that's all people think about.
So
are
they just playing to the base? You're right. This video was so awkward. And then he came out with another one yesterday on NATO. And people noticed, and I'm in the production business. It was a 2-minute video and there were 28 cuts in it, which means, which is nuts.
That's really bad.
And I watched it. It's crazy. It's just, I mean, it's plainly obvious they couldn't get a good take out of this guy, you know, and this gets back to
see all the blooper reels.
Yeah.
I'd love to see.
So why, I mean, seriously, are they putting this guy in the situations because their Bay slaps it up, or are they just stupid? I mean, tell me, Jennifer.
The base is not lapping anything up. They don't believe what they're seeing before their eyes. They're wondering what everybody else is wondering.
Uh-huh.
Why he can't hold a sentence? Why are they still propping him up? You know. So yeah, you got people who are just watching this train wreck happen and assuming, well, you know, this is just, and kind of like what Jeff said. Well, you know, we were trained in school to just kind of follow and not question, and so this is the way it's supposed to be.
So that brings us to the 60.
My favorite ones is, you know, oh, this will write itself. No, it's not if someone doesn't, you know, stop that train. It's not going to write itself.
So then the
there
big question.
There is another Super Bowl coming though. That's called the State of the Union.
Yeah, right. I know. I have it on the calendar.
Now that is going to be interesting.
That is going to be.
Well, I'll make a prediction because this has happened every time for the last 5 years. They put a bunch of drugs in his butt, and he's good for about 40, 45 minutes, and then he starts to fade.
And then he starts to melt down.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah.
But he's
always one note. If you notice. There's usually ebbs and flows to speeches. He's always anger man.
Yeah.
Dark Brandon, I think.
He's 81. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Dark Brandon.
That's his deal.
Jeff's going to be angry when he's 81.
I'm already angry. Ask your listeners.
Yeah, I know. I set you up there.
But yeah, so, I mean, the union. It, to me, will be the kind of that tipping point, right? If he can hold it together, maybe they say, we got the right, you know, concoction to get him where he can go out and do a few stump speeches. But if he totally goes off the graph, I don't know what plan B and C and D is for the Democrat Party.
To tell you the truth, I don't even think they know.
That's my guess.
Seriously, they thought that if they installed Kamala, then, you know, things would go well, not realizing just how disastrous she is. We could have told you that.
Yeah.
Watching her sleep her way up and then be propped all the way up through California government. I mean,
yeah.
We knew this. But they wanted to install her thinking, oh, yeah, well, this is our default. And now realizing, oh, my God, our default.
Yeah.
It's fairly useless.
Right.
They don't know what they want to do.
And they knew that day one. I mean, that's the thing. They've known that. This wasn't like it happened a week ago to her. They tried every trick in the book to get her to find her lane, right? What is it, Kamala? Is it technology?
Borders are.
Well, she's got a problem. I mean, here I'm naive. So she gets up in 2020 and she says she's running for president. 20,000 people show up at Union Square in San Francisco to see her speech. And I'm looking at this woman, and I'm thinking, well, she's pretty attractive. She's kind of charismatic. She's got a great personality. What I did not know at the time and learned later, she's stupid as a brick. I mean, that's her problem. She's dumb.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and not, it's different if you are kind of likable. She's not even likable. She runs the staff like water. She's entitled. There's nothing to sell with her.
Yeah.
And she's not charismatic. She's
okay. All right, Jennifer, I'm going to ask you a point blank question here. This does not involve Jeff at all, and you'll see for a second. So what is what's the percentage of black women who just feel naturally entitled? I mean, you know, I see this. It's
too many.
Yeah.
Especially if they vote Democrat.
Why does that happen? Is it the culture or why is it?
It has nothing to do with the culture. It has to do with being sold a bill of goods in terms of, you know, you're this and you can't get this without this and privilege and blah, blah, you know, all of the buzzwords that frankly annoy me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm bringing this around to Fannie Willis. So Fannie Willis gets on the stand and,
oh,
oh my God, it's like, And she just revealed to the world how stupid she is. I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, and yet she's...
And arrogant.
Yes.
It's, you know, arrogant in her stupidity.
Yes.
She literally... I hope somebody, or I'm sure somebody counseled her, told her not to get on the stand. You need coaching. She obviously did not get any coaching. She obviously, there's only two explanations for that. Either you are a true believer or you're just so confident in your grift.
Yeah, right. And that's all,
that's
become my eternal question. Become my eternal question. Which is it? I can never tell. You know, and that's why I ask you.
With her, I'm leaning toward the latter. There's something she knows that she's confident in that grift, confident in that entitlement, especially in that portion, Fulton County. You know, it's another patroness.
If we can talk about the world biting Democrats in the ass, so the thing that, you know, this judgment against Trump, how did they think they could do, Jeff, to you, you're the businessman here, how did they think they could do this in New York State and businessmen wouldn't say, oh, Jesus, I got to get out of here, you know?
They don't care.
They
absolutely don't fear it. They believe people, and as business people, it is really hard, especially if you're like a service business. You can't pick that up, bring it to Nashville, Tennessee, and say, you know, Joe's TV repair. I'm the greatest thing that was in New York, and I'm now in, you know, Nashville, Tennessee. People are going, we don't like New Yorkers. So by birthright of having your business in New York, your whole is to stay there.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, and that's the problem. And so they know they've kind of got you trapped because of your brick and mortar, your name, your customer base. You know, you're not Target. I mean, look at Target tried to move to Canada. Failed.
Yeah.
It happened. You can't just pick, you know, pick your family up and move it and meet your neighbors and get new friends. But it's really hard to move a business in this day and age.
Yeah.
Okay, let me run a scenario by you. I know you're right, but even if the majority of business Kansas can't pick up and move, would enough of them pick up and move to send the tax base all to hell? I mean, especially when you've got investors, like people invest in real estate, you know, there you don't have any infrastructure you have to move, you know, especially.
Well, you still have to sell the building.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And so the next person that's going to come in is going to be BlackRock, and they're going to get it for 2 cents.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be everyone's retirement fund paying for that turd they bought in New York, but they own it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the problem. I mean, there's, Jim, in the end, there's very few Donald Trumps.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they pounded him or are pounding him hard to tell all the other entrepreneurs, show up on time and listen to authority. I mean, it is our education system looping around in the business world. And just the way they've changed rules to catch him and they do this, and people aren't like, hold on here. If you can just change that kind of rule, what can you do in my neighborhood?
Well, right. That's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah. If they're doing it, he's right. If they're doing it to him, what makes you think they will not do it to you? You who have way less money, way less power, can't hire high-priced lawyers, can't crowdfund on your marketing genius. I'm not sure if I said it to you. I think I did say it to you, Jim. I'm not mad at him. Let him sell as many sneakers as he wants and fungible tokens and it's just like, I don't blame him. If I had something that I could sell to to ward off some of the debt that I have to deal with, thanks to the government, then I'd do it too.
So
it's legit.
Guys, do you see, I don't know if I've read any articles on Red State about this. I know that, and this is not what I was referring to earlier because I'm still an incompetent old man. I know that Strom on Hot Air has written articles about the fact, I've seen this all over the place, about the fact that a lot of people think there might be a civil, quote-unquote, civil war coming up between red states and blue states or blue cities and red, you know, I don't know. It's like
they want that. That's what they want. I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, that's an interesting take. I'm glad you brought that up.
I agree with Jennifer 100%. That was, everyone knows how that goes. We have history to think and to look back on. Everyone knows how that goes. That thing unwinds in ways you can't predict. And the only one who wins is the government.
Yep.
And so why would you help them win again?
Hey,
North
folks.
Scarborough can get on. And
we have a caller here. Hello. Is this my mother?
Yes, I am here and I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. This is my 99-year-old mother from small town Minnesota. Hi, Mom. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, but I don't like what I'm hearing out there.
What's that?
Well, the guy you had before.
Yeah?
He's for Trump. Trump is a... Can I talk?
Yes, please. Go ahead. That's where we have a calling line.
Trump
That's the reason.
Is a good friend, I'll tell you. Trump is a good friend of Putin.
Uh-huh.
People that don't remember, first time when Trump became president, he went to visit him. They had a one-hour talk. Putin,
yeah.
Her secretary, he didn't have known nothing.
Yeah.
So Putin's got lots of things on him. But this Putin is nice for him. He never says nothing wrong. He's a good guy.
Okay. All right, Mama. I don't know what to say about that. I can't argue about the meeting. I know the meeting's true. I know that, you know. But there's a lot of reasons.
You never heard one word. No make difference what he does. He killed that guy over there. And he never says one word. He's a good guy, Putnik. Because if he says one word, Putnik is going to let everything out for him.
Yeah, well, I know it's the same thing. If Jeff talks bad about Putin, Jeff's going to get axed too, so...
Yeah, so, anyway, I don't like you.
I know, Mom. I know you don't.
You know.
Yeah.
But
that's okay, Mama.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
Okay. All right, Mama. All right.
No. Before I hanged up.
Oh.
I was listening, I hanged up, and I called again back.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I haven't been looking at the board
very much. I was listening.
Our guests are so fascinating that I've been paying my attention to the screen. So sorry about that, Mom.
That's fine. You've got people up there talking.
Well, we're not in the same location, but yeah, we got people. Yeah, so yeah.
If we were, we'd slap his hand.
What did you say?
He's. No, they're not here in the room with me, Mom. We do this all by remote.
That.
Yeah.
I'm 99, but I'm not so dumb.
Yeah, I know that, Mama. I know. We all know
not
that.
Not you, but people not to think I'm so dumb.
You're 99 and a half, and your 100th birthday is coming up in 6 months, and you won't let us have a big party.
Yeah, so, yeah. I should tell people that I know I've been under government like Putin and everything, so I know how they are.
Yes, yeah, you grew up in a communist country, right? That's right. Matter of fact, I'm just going to cut to the chase here, Mother. I'll explain for you. The communists made your life a hell, living hell. So,
they hell, yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, anyway. Well, that's really uplifting.
Hold on,
Mother. Jennifer wants to ask you a question. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay. No, I wish you would allow yourself to be filmed and talk about all the horrors that you went through under communism so that there's a record of it. Because you have an entire generation, not my age, but younger children who don't believe it or who think that Russia and communism is cool, and it's very sad because you know the truth.
Sure, you know, I went to World War II, I am Germans, I have communists, I have anybody. So I went through all of them.
Yeah.
When I came here in 1955, United States was the most beautiful country in the world. Nobody was killing, nobody was fighting, no nothing.
And now?
And now?
And now it's the opposite. Terrible. They kill each other, they fight each other, even the Congress, they fight each other, everybody. You don't trust nobody anymore.
Yeah, well.
It's shame.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, so. Makes
all
me
right,
bad
Mother, I'm going to let you go, okay? Because
okay,
we're getting depressed.
I am drifting. You know me when I talk about things like that.
I know,
sorry.
Mama. I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So.
The viewers
okay.
don't, but that's
love
fine.
You. Have a good night. Love you.
Thanks. I love
Bye.
You, Mom. I'll see you on Saturday. Bye. That's my mother. She's 99 and a half. She still lives on her own.
I've been reprimanded. I have heard her.
Yeah. She doesn't, I don't know if you guys got, she doesn't like Trump.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So where were we? I don't know. But you know something, that is one thing I did want to talk about that. And that is, and God, I don't want to put this on my mother, but still there's the reaction to Trump on for many people is totally visceral and emotional, and there's nothing behind it. I mean, I can tell you a dozen reasons I don't like Joe Biden, but people on the left who complain about Trump endlessly can't actually give you any actual reason why they think he's evil.
They really can't. I am befuddled at the reaction, but the reaction to Trump that is either just pure hatred or he's dangerous. And not just the reaction, but the means that they are using, overturning the law, doing all the ruining the justice system, doing all this stuff for one person. It's just kind of like, this is scary.
Well,
using a bazooka to kill a fly.
Yeah, Jennifer does, but does he represent the basically the dismantling of the bureaucratic state? Is that reason people hate him so much?
I think so. He's not interested in playing along with the bureaucratic state.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he hasn't caved or given in. I think he was thinking that, you just go along to get along. So he hired this person and installed that person, not realizing that they were intent on destroying him even before he was elected.
Yeah, and the weird thing, and Jeff, I bet you know about this. I have a lot of Republican friends who hate his guts. I mean, you know.
It's a dislike without any kind of measurement or justification or reason. I mean,
there's no context.
Right.
I think about the fact that what have they done over the last 8 years of Bush and then, HW. It's just like they've fostered the decline, really, of middle America is what they did. And you've got somebody who inspired middle America and did put in policies, really, that encouraged and helped small business.
So I'm not going to put words in you guys' mouth. I'm an election denier. I think there was some actual cheating going on in 2020. But, you know, and Jeff and I have talked about this before, Jennifer. I don't know if you ever followed this. There's a lot of evidence to indicate that in 2000 and 2004, the Republicans cheated those elections. And supposedly they didn't cheat in 2008 because they thought it was so obvious Barack Obama was going to get elected. They thought they'd get caught. Do you think the same thing's going to happen now? Do you think that they won't try to cheat this fall because they're afraid they'd get caught?
I don't necessarily think they're going to cheat, quote unquote. I think they may finally get smart and start using some of the legal tactics in certain states that the Democrats use, the ballot harvesting, the ballot collection, all ballot curing, all of that stuff. They need to ramp that up if they plan to be competitive. What I can see them doing is just sitting back on their laurels like they've done before, and just as, because whether they win or whether they lose, should I say the powers, whether they win or whether they lose, they're going to earn money anyway. They're going to that they're set. They are fat. So I don't think they really care about it. You know, they make noises about it. But I do not get the impression that they really even care.
I read one commentator say that doesn't matter who's going to win. They're going to riot either way. Even if Biden wins, they're going to riot because they don't want, you know. It's like,
but that's what they want. That's really all of this talk and, you know, Dark Brandon and his MAGA filling, you know, MAGA extremists, whatever he's talking about all the time. I can't understand him half the time anyway. But that they want people to rise up against each other. And really, I think enough people have realized the interdependence of their fellow man, of their neighbor. They've gotten out of their, a lot of people have gotten out of their blue bubbles and even their red bubbles. And understand. They're of the understanding that the only way we're going to survive is if we support each other and reject the government nonsense.
That's really amazing, though. Go ahead, Jeff.
To me, this is a poker game, right? And sometimes you have to bluff. Mm. And so I'm a Democrat. This is a good time to lose. Let Trump take this problem that's coming, as we've started the show with. There's a problem on the horizon.
Yeah.
There's no better person to hand it to finish him off because they haven't been able to finish him off.
Right.
And let him absorb this economic downturn. They know the bureaucracy is secure. They don't believe he's going to come in and fire 50% of government, federal government employees as a fix to the economic crisis, which would be the best way to do it. And so if I'm a Democrat, long-term communist China thinker, it's, hey, this is a 100-year war. They've been fighting this. The Democrats have been fighting and winning for this war for almost 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to maybe pause in 2024 and let Trump take it down, take the hit for this, and then in 2028 or sooner, they're back in full power with none of this mud on their face.
See, Jeff, I totally agree with you. I just don't know if they're that smart.
Oh, they're smart. Jim, look at what they've done to the education. Everything they've done isn't because they're not prepared to do it. They're
But what you said is key, 100, the long game. They've been playing the long game. They started the educational system back in the 1800s.
There you go.
That's the long game.
Yeah,
and
they got more power. But Jeff is absolutely right. If they were if they're going to play long here, they would actually they would take the loss. They would just take the loss and regroup. That's what they would do.
Go in, let it fall apart, and then Joe goes away, and all his mess goes away because he lost and Kamala lost and they're done and they're not coming back and they
will assume people will think.
Right.
People are short-sighted and they have short memories.
I got a text message here from somebody. This is really interesting. This person says, everything we see here is to keep our eyes off the real scam. We are being pillaged. That's what somebody just texted now. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
It's look at this magic hand over here while I do this sleight of hand trick while you're actually going to be broke and begging the government for a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. God, this is just it's so depressing.
We're getting more and more depressing here.
That's right. I know.
It's all perspective, though. The thing is, to talk about it gives your brain a chance to get itself around, what would I do?
Yeah.
What would I be willing to go without for a short stint, knowing that on the other side, this long game fell apart?
Okay.
It blew up.
Last question.
We're not killing each other. We're just pausing.
Right. Last question for the night. What do we do if the economy completely collapses? What happens?
You help your neighbor.
Right. I mean, that is one of the benefits of having moved to a state that focuses in on agriculture and actual real production as opposed to manufactured stuff in bits and bytes. You get to know neighbors. You get to know homesteaders. You start bartering services. It's going to be in times type of stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Jennifer, I don't know if you ever read John Nolte on Breitbart, but he moved to rural Georgia, and his thing is that, you know, he talks about all the shit that's happening in the Democrat cities and how they supposedly try to fix it. And he said, well, I know the fix. Move to middle America. He says where he's at in rural Georgia, there's absolutely no racism. There's no bullshit of any kind. And we're close enough to, Jeff and I both live in the metro here, but we're close enough to the middle of America that I know he's right. I know that's true. And you've experienced it now, too.
Nobody cares.
Right.
Are you a nice person? Can I rely on you? Can you shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's the prepper's guiding principle. Don't come as a hungry mouth. If you can chop wood, chop wood. If you can bandage wounds, bandage wounds. Don't show up and say, I'm hungry, because they're going to do the old caveman thing. You're outside with the old people, and we'll throw the bones when the productive ones are done eating them off of them, and you can see, you guys can fight over them. But that is, I mean, that's a prepper's number one thing is don't come as a hungry mouth. You have to be able to do something.
Contribute.
Jeff, I've never told you this, so I have a friend of mine whose son-in-law is a prepper, and he says to me, honest to God, he says to me, he knows how to do the show, he says, you know, us preppers, we need a leader. You should do it. He's talking to me. I said, I don't know. I don't think you want me. I'm a pussy. I can't do anything. What the hell? Okay, folks, I tell you what, we're going to leave it at that, okay? All right. I really appreciate you guys coming on. We do this once a month here. It's fantastic. Jennifer, thank you so much. Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff, we'll see you in a couple weeks again. And this is wonderful. Wonderful. So anyway, thank you. And God bless you all. And yeah, sorry if we brought the public down. That was Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from redstate.com and asthegirlturns.com. That's her Substack feed. And Jeff Meyer, the CEO and publisher of Kong News. And Kong News, they're a sponsor. Fantastic. Go to Kong.com, C-O-N-K.com. You can read Jennifer's articles at redstate.com and asthegirlturns.com. Yeah, so I mean, just fabulous people. Fantastic discussion. So I want to thank them. We get a lot of... I got to say, we're batting above our weight here. It's like we get a lot of fantastic guests. So tomorrow night, Mark Tapscott's going to be on. We're pre-taping that interview in the afternoon. So we unfortunately will not be able to take texts or questions. But he's been, like I said at the top of the show, he's been working Capitol Hill for 40 years. The guy basically is on a first-name basis with almost everyone in Congress. So we really get the scoop of what's really going on there. And, you know, and he'll speculate. We can get him to speculate. You know, it's not, I want to know his opinion. You know, so that's what we do here, you know. So at any rate, I got one little, you know, we do the C block of the show. We do kind of do science and technology news. So, and this, I find this really interesting because like I said at the top of the show, now tonight it worked. The last two nights we've had problems with Blog Talk Radio. First night, on Monday night, it was completely offline. Last night, it went offline literally in the middle of the show, in the middle of a phone call. I'm talking to a guy, and it just evaporated. And Joe, if you're listening tonight, my apologies. That was not me. It's like you're talking, and all of a sudden, poof, you're gone, and the whole thing's gone. So both nights, I had to strip the audio out of the video for the last two shows and uploaded it onto Blog Talk Radio. Normally, they archive our shows automatically, but because we went offline, they could not do that. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because supposedly the last 2 days, ChatGTP had a complete meltdown. It was insulting people. It was answering questions with gibberish. Apparently, it just went bonkers. And I'm actually wondering if there's something wrong with the internet here or something going on. We got to get Jazz Shaw on soon. He's an expert at this, at the AI stuff, you know. And the other thing is, I've had people who commented on this. A friend of mine who watched the show a couple nights ago about, I think I added the kicker that night, was about the fact that there's a lot of people who think that within 2 to 10, there's a guy who's posting everywhere that within 2 to 10 years, he thinks ChatGPT, or no, actually AI in general, could literally take over the world and start killing people. And, you know, I think most people think the first thing, well, no, that's kind of severe, but Jesus, we've seen a lot of shit that wasn't supposed to happen lately. So I don't know. I think this stuff's worth airing. So, but anyway, yeah, the last 2 days, apparently ChatGPT completely went to hell. Now, Jazz has he actually has a paid account with them because he actually covers it as part of his beat. I don't. As a matter of fact, the free version of ChatGPT is so busy, you basically can't get in. I've tried, but he pays, so he has access, a permanent access. So I'll be interested to see if we'll talk to him to see if he's had any problems or how that's turned out. But anyway, I thought you'd want to know that. Other thing I got here today, we're going to sign up. This is freaking amazing. And, you know, and I know a little bit about computer programming, and also I'm an audio expert. I'm not a video expert. I'm an audio expert. You know, so yeah, so we're doing the show. It's video. You know, I actually wanted to do an audio-only show, but it turns out it's almost impossible to do live. So we end up with a video, but the thing is now a bunch of hackers have figured out. Now bear with me here, because it doesn't make any sense. They can read fingerprints based on the way you can swipe like your smartphone screen by moving your finger around the smartphone screen. And here's the deal. It's not from the screen itself. It's from the sound of you swiping. Got that? So if you're on an app where your microphone is being used and it's open and you're swiping your screen, they can get your fingerprint from the sound of you doing that, not the actual touch, the sound. Which, and I know about this shit. This blows my mind. I don't understand how this works, but apparently they can do it with about 60 to 90% accuracy. It's not you know, totally permanent. But they can, in other words, if they took a shot at you, they're more than likely to get your fingerprint off that. It's not guaranteed. It's not for certain. But yeah, off the sound of you swiping on the screen. Christ, really? So, and then the third thing, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow, but it kind of goes along with this too. And this is Google's new AI engine. I can't remember what it's called. This is not Bard. This is like their next generation. So people are testing this online, and it wasn't long before people noticed that if you ask it, give me a picture of a white Caucasian male, it won't do it. It'll spit back some text about the fact that we're trying to be really inclusive here, and that's racist. And so people tried to get around this. So it was Nate Silver, the guy who runs 538, and he's a liberal, man. It's like he said at first he didn't believe it. He's on Twitter talking about this. He didn't believe it. He thought this was bullshit. He thought conservative crap. So he gets on there, and he says, nope, it's true. I can't get a picture of a white Caucasian male. So somebody even asked him, give me a picture of an NFL quarterback. And it says, sure, here's a diverse photo of an NFL quarterback, and it's an Asian woman wearing a football uniform. It's like, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's an NFL quarterback, all right. Let's get an Asian girl in there to do it. It's like, what the hell? It's like, it's so woke, it's unbelievable. The whole world is just going woke and going to hell. That's the way I look at this. I want to thank whoever texted in our you know, we only have telephone numbers on the text, so I want to thank you for doing that. I want, like, once again, my apologies for Joe on Monday night. No, this was Tuesday night, last night. My apologies for that. Sorry about that, Joe. Love the fact you called in. You had a very, very interesting thoughts there. Yeah, the whole system blew up. It worked tonight. That was my mother that you heard. She's listened to the show. Yeah. She's proud of her son, even though she hates Trump. And we just don't talk about it anymore. But and that works for us. So anyway, folks, so Mark Tapscott tomorrow night, and then Monday we have our month in review panel, and they're always a lot of fun. I want to thank you folks for watching always and listening. We're on 7 popular platforms on video and on Blog Talk Radio and audio. We're live there, which is part of the problem, I guess. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio directory, the live directory, which is on the homepage or right off of it, we show up when our show is going to go live about a few hours ahead of time. And then we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Rumble, we're on YouTube. I pay attention to Rumble particularly. And one more thing, too, speaking of that, we cracked 2,000 followers a couple days ago. I want to thank you folks for that. So that's pretty cool. We've only, like Jeff said, this is only the 88th show. We've only been doing this for 6 months. So the fact we got 2,000 followers on Rumble is pretty damn cool. I appreciate it. I appreciate you watching and listening. I'm Jim Peters. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you wherever you are. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care.